Welcome to Stories of COVID, the interview project that explores what it's like to experience a global pandemic.
I never thought I would see this in my lifetime.
It is scary and it's very real, but it's not hopeless.
As I said, I changed 3 planes. None of them were wearing any gloves or masks.
I've never seen so much support for freelancers or artists in the media as I have now.
They both laid me off from just the advent of the outbreak.
I'm anthropologist and author Veronica Curran, and I am building an interview archive of stories and anecdotes that define this time in history to write a book preserving this experience for future generations. If you'd like to help preserve this moment in history for future generations, check out the show notes to sign up for an interview. My name is Veronica Curran. I'm an anthropologist, author, and entrepreneur, and I am the creator of Stories of COVID. Now that we have wrapped up interviews, I thought that it might be a good time for you to get to know me, since you have heard from so many other people but never really had any idea who was the person collecting the interviews. So this is my self-interview. I first heard about the virus from Reddit early in 2020. I remember posting to my Facebook in January of 2020, telling people to stay calm, that this wasn't a big deal, because it looked so much like SARS. I really thought that this would not touch the United States the way that it ultimately has. And of course, the way it has affected the rest of the world as well. I was in Pasadena, California, the week that the first case was identified in California. It was identified in Pasadena. There had been one other case in Seattle, Washington, at this point, and I believe 2 cases in New York. And so it was fairly significant to be in the city that the first case was discovered in the state and really in the region. But we still weren't really sure if it was a big deal. I had a speaking engagement and networking event that week in the area, and I recall we sort of weren't shaking hands. We were touching elbows, but even then we kind of laughed about it. We just really weren't sure what to do, or if this was a big deal, or if we were being silly. 1 week later, California shut down. My first career was in disaster relief, and an emergency of this nature looks exactly like a natural disaster, natural emergency, like those that I responded to after Hurricane Katrina and the tsunami in American Samoa. So as things locked down, I felt much more on high alert than probably my peers did. The PTSD that I experienced from disaster relief was triggered. And I felt like I didn't know what to do. I felt very powerless and afraid. I remember standing in line at the grocery store because they stopped letting in normal quantities of people. They had ratcheted down how many persons could be inside a building at a certain time. I had made a mask out of a bandana because there weren't any masks. And I remember thinking, wow, this looks a lot like the bread lines that I was told about when I was doing my research for Stories of Elders, my first book in anthropological study. It was at that point that I got the idea that I should be studying this pandemic. This wasn't going to be just the blip that we all thought it might be, and I could tell that it was going to change the world. I study paradigm shifts as an anthropologist, and we were about to live through a very significant one. So 2 years ago, from this recording, on March 23rd, 2020, I started interviewing. At first I interviewed my friends, but I used the snowball research method, which simply means that I asked participants to send me more participants. I didn't want the bias of my own networking community in this study, and I wanted to make sure that we were interviewing internationally, since this is an international experience and international pandemic. Pretty rapidly, my schedule filled up with stories of COVID interviews and stayed that way for some time. I had to make room in my schedule and change some of my plans personally with regards to my business. On April Fool's Day, feeling a little bit foolish, I decided to fly back to Detroit and move in with my partner at the time. I had moved ahead to Los Angeles and had been there 6 months, but my partner had not yet made the move, and I didn't want to be living in both a rather expensive city and a city that was pretty new for me during what was a national and international emergency. We managed to live together in a 600 square foot apartment for many, many months, cohabitating, supporting each other, and luckily he lived near a park, so we would go out into the park, and that was our experience outside of the apartment, besides grocery shopping. We were, for a time, washing down all of our groceries as we got them, and washing ourselves as well, because it still wasn't clear the transmission of the virus and how transmissible it was on surfaces. We learned by summer that it was not transmissible very easily through surfaces, so we stopped all that. In September of 2020, all of my plans changed. I thought that I was going to return to Los Angeles and that we would move to Los Angeles over the summer, and the pandemic kept going. It changed from, oh, this is just a few weeks, to, oh, okay, maybe this is like a month or two, to, okay, maybe this is going to be all summer. And by September, it just really wasn't abating, and I had stored a lot of my belongings in Los Angeles under the pretense that I would return, and it was time to go get them. I actually, by coincidence, had been invited to do a TED Talk on this research outside of Los Angeles in a city called Temecula, which is more or less in between Los Angeles and San Diego. So we flew out, retrieved my belongings, gave away a lot of them, and then drove my car, which was still in Los Angeles, to Temecula. I delivered a TED Talk to a room of 20 technicians, all wearing masks, all social distancing. And it was a fair disappointment because I have such a wide, vibrant network in Los Angeles and San Diego. I had so many people that I wanted to invite to the event, and that didn't happen. We drove 5 days back to Michigan and twiddled our thumbs, figuring out what to do next. That first birthday during the pandemic was the loneliest birthday I've ever had. I was with my partner, and my best friend drove in from out of town, and a friend who was fairly local also did a drive-by hello to give me a pie, and I got to meet his son through the window of the car for the first and only time thus far. This compared to the usual large party I throw for my friends for my birthday every year. I like to wine and dine my friends to show gratitude and joy on my birthday, and I usually have between 50 and 100 people, and I had three. Into autumn, we got clear that we didn't want to stay in Detroit, and it was time to make a move. We dabbled with different places in the United States, but were getting frustrated with the way things were going in the States, and we started to wonder if it was just time to make the big leap across the pond. Both my partner and myself have been wanting to live in Europe for the majority of our lives, and all of our ties had been cut. The pandemic kind of made it easy. So my partner decided on a whim to apply for a job in Berlin. The first job he applied to, he got an interview for and then was hired. Soon after, we got our visas, and on January 21st, 2021, Inauguration Day in the United States, we flew to Germany to start our new lives. In some ways, moving to a new country during a pandemic, when things are more shut down, it was a little bit of a relief. It allowed us to ease into the new culture and country. But at the same time, we missed out on a lot. And a lot of the support, the opportunities to make friends weren't there. We had to quarantine for a few days, and then we wanted to end the quarantine early. So we had to, in German, which neither of us really spoke, find a doctor who could administer the test and then submit that test to the state government in order to be free to move around. We quickly found that the state of Germany, as well as the European Union, had created apps for tracking and managing the pandemic, that daily testing was free and readily available, and it felt overall like things were being better managed. We wondered if we were going to eat our words, though, when the vaccines started to roll out in the United States, and we didn't get them in Germany until May and June, a couple months later. But Germany quickly surpassed the United States for vaccination compliance, and so again, we started to feel like we had made the right choice. We didn't move to Germany because of the pandemic or because of any of this. We moved because we really wanted to experience a new culture and a new way of life, but the pandemic was a very real and present event, and we couldn't help but compare. I suppose that brings us to now, where things are opening back up here. Things have widely reopened in the United States, and by that I mean regulations are ceasing. It looks like here in Germany, by April Fool's Day again, any mandates for testing, for how many people can be in a space for gathering, and even mask wearing will end, the exception being on public transportation and in medical offices. In the United States, it seems like pretty much every place is there. In my interviews with people around the world, it seems like in a similar fashion, regulations are ending. The exception to this is a few cities in China, which have recently had spikes and are upping regulations or locking down, Shanghai being one of them. So, as a researcher, I feel somewhat conflicted ending this research at this point in time, because 2 years is a nice round number. Viruses aren't nice and round. they don't behave the way that we like to quantify as humans. But at the same time, I can't deliver a book for posterity documenting this experience if I am continuing to interview. And after 2 years, we have a fairly good sense of the cycles that this will experience. It looks like more and more that COVID-19 is going to act like the flu, with yearly spikes, perhaps a yearly variation or two. But hopefully never as severe as it was when it first came on the scene and we were so unprepared. My hope is that we are better prepared. My concern is that human memory tends to be pretty short. I hope that this book will manage those expectations, at least to some extent, because it was far too easy for us to forget the pandemic of 1918 and have no tools or information in our zeitgeist for managing this. This self-interview will not be in the book, I don't think that's ethical, but I did want to give you the chance to hear my own story as we wrap up these interviews. So thank you for being a supporter of this project. Thank you for sending people to the project. Thank you for your interest. And if you are interested in learning more about the book and getting updates, since there will not be a podcast to do that for you, you can go to the website storiesofcovid.co and sign up to the mailing list there. And that is where we will be sending any and all updates about the book and its related events. Thank you so much. I hope you stay well and take care.